You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
Packers Talk.
To the other six teams who will comprise the playoff field in the National Football Conference, a message. You want to get to La La Land for Super Bowl 56 next month? You're going to have to come through Lambeau Field and the Green Bay Packers. Good luck. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I'm your host, Chris Lempesis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here to break down Green Bay's. Oh, we clinched home field advantage and ended one of our biggest rival seasons? Yes! 37-10 blowout win over the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday night at Lambeau, a game played before the nation on Sunday Night Football. Yeah, that's right. As a result of the defeat, that's a wrap on the 2021 season for the Vikings, at least in terms of their playoff chances. They've been officially eliminated. Remember when they acted like they'd won the damn Super Bowl after beating the Packers back in late November? Hell, that'll probably end up being their entire season highlights DVD. Do they still do those even? I don't even know. So congrats on that, Minnesota. Also, now that their playoff chances are dead, it kind of feels like that's going to be the end for Mike Zimmer in Minnesota, huh? You know, I got to say, if that's the case and Zim ends up being fired, I'm going to weirdly miss him, I got to say. You know, he's been a worthy adversary for Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers says that all the time, talks about how tough it is going up against Zimmer and his defenses and how smart he is. And Zimmer's always showed nothing but respect for Aaron Rodgers. It's been kind of a fun rivalry, you know, seeing those two, that the cat and mouse game between those two, if you will. And I kind of like that Zimmer, you know, coaches nowadays are, you know, it's skewing younger. It's more of a player's coach approach, more of a kind of, the players and coaches are kind of co-CEOs. You know, it's Matt LaFleur's biggest strength, really. And that's fine. I don't have any problem with that. But I kind of liked that Zimmer was like a crusty old throwback to like the days of like Bill Parcells and like Buddy Ryan and Ditka. Just like a crusty old F. Like, you know, always mad. He's always snapping at the media. He's like, if you cover him, he's probably not very fun. But I kind of always enjoyed that about him. So, yeah, I'll kind of weirdly be sad if this is, I think this is it for him. I think he's going to be fired. So, yeah, fare thee well, Zim. I'll say that now. I think that's probably what's happening here. And I should apologize for my voice. You're probably like, Chris, you sound weird. I've been sick the past week. This is always how it goes. I had a sinus infection, really gnarly sinus infection that I think I got from my kids. Having kids is great, isn't it? They just bring home everything. They go to daycare, you know, preschool. They come home, they bring home all the germs, all the sicknesses. Isn't it great? So I think I got it from my kids. It was a sinus infection, and then it's kind of morphed into this, like, awful bronchitis. I was bad last. I missed a couple days of work, so. That's why my voice sounds effed up. That's why. So apologies for that. But you know what? I don't miss shows. Like, I'll play through it. That's because that's me. That's what you expect from me, and that's what I bring to the table for you, the Lemps Talk and Pack listener. And I want to wish everybody a Happy New Year. We turn the calendar over to 2022 on Friday. Let's hope 2022 goes a little bit better than last year. We'll see, but let's hope. Anywho, with the win, which, again, do you even need me to say it? Oh, fuck it, of course you do. Which, again, locks up home field advantage throughout the playoffs for the Packers. Green Bay improves to 13-3 on the season, as they are now the first team, I don't know if you know this, the first team in NFL history to win 13-plus games in three consecutive seasons. Saw that. Actually, I don't remember where I saw that. No, I saw it a couple different places near the end of the game. So that's just an incredible stat. And because of that, right, winning 13-plus games 3 years in a row, head coach Matt LaFleur is now 39-9 in his first three seasons. The best, let me say that again, the absolute best first 3 years an NFL head coach has ever had, as he passes former Niners and Panthers head coach George Seifert. It's just so many records set by this 2021 club, you know? I couldn't possibly get to them all. But those were the two I had to mention those right off the bat. Or near the beginning of the bat. And since, again, the Packers now have home field advantage throughout. Oh, twist my arm. I guess I could say that again. Goddamn, who am I kidding? It's so fun to say. It seems silly to talk about the rest of the NFC playoff standings because a lot can and will change there between now and the start of the playoffs, which the Packers will once more be at home chilling for. So let's just skip that. Though I do want to give a shout out to the Arizona Cardinals for beating the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday. It was 25-22. So the Packers could be in a position to do what they did Sunday night. I should check the score on that. Don't want to get that wrong, although you already know, but it's the former journalist in me. I want to make sure I got it right. Yep, 25-22 in Dallas. So, thanks to them for that. So, the Packers could be in a position to do what they did Sunday night. It was a good game. I don't know if you got a chance to see it. Arizona was really in control, and Dallas, you know, just stormed back in the second half. Really, the fourth quarter, they were charging hard. But Arizona did enough to fight them off. That was great. That was really, I appreciate that. Thank you to the Cardinals. Before we get into the fun, God, I hope you're having fun already. How could you not be having fun already? I'm having fun. It's already 12:30 at night, Sunday night. I'm having a blast. Got to do the shameless self-promotion, which I know you love or at the very least tolerate. Twitter, LemsMKE at It's Just Chris Now. Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts. One of my resolutions is to start posting there more in 2022. We'll see if I can avoid breaking that. I don't know. The email, Old Bag of Donuts, olbagofdonuts @gmail.com. For anyone listening on the wonderful Packers Talk iTunes page, leave a rating, 5 stars. Me like you those the most. 4 stars are good too. A comment, if it's positive, that would be great. I want to thank the people who continue to leave kind comments about both my show, Lem's Talk and Pack, and the other Packers Talk shows on our iTunes page. Very appreciative of that. We're on Spotify. You can find us by searching for Packers Talk and look for our logo, which is the head of the Vince Lombardi statue, which sits outside Lambeau Field. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on that app. You can find us there as well. And I'm just going to keep telling you, subscribe. Subscribe, okay? You hit the subscribe button, the shit gets delivered right to you. We don't say anything about what else is on your phone. Whatever apps you've got or pictures or whatever you've got, that's, hey, our lips are sealed. We will not say anything. I promise you that. And I want to continue to tell people to let me know if you're listening on a platform other than one of the ones I mention. Shout out to Jeff in Brooklyn for emailing me last week to say he listens on TuneIn Radio. Nice to hear from you, Jeff. Thanks for letting me know. Okay, now that we done got that out the way, let's go. Let's dive right in. Let's talk about this Packers dub. Finally, they just beat the shit out of the opponent from start to finish. Dub. Always, I shouldn't be doing that with my voice like this, but I'm doing it anyways. Always nice. Relaxing wins are just so nice, aren't they? Not that we'd know much about them watching this year's Packers team. So most of these games have come down to the fourth quarter or even overtime. But this one, not the case, as the 27-point margin of victory was Green Bay's biggest of the season. Now, in some ways, you can't take a ton away from what we saw Sunday night as the Vikings were without quarterback Kirk Cousins as he landed on the COVID list. Was it Friday? I think it was Friday. Sometime late last week, whatever. So obviously, they were a much weaker opponent than they would have been had he been available. You know, keeping the mighty Sean Mannion in check only says so much, you know. Now, having said that, there were a lot of very positive developments in this one, and I want to start by talking about the offense. Okay, so in short, kind of my opening statement, the offense we saw from Green Bay Sunday night, that is an offense that will work in the playoffs. That approach will play. Loved the way LaFleur and the offensive coaches used their key guys, and more importantly, loved when they used their key guys. Here's what I mean. The first half, burp, got to keep it real. The first half, they really relied on Davante Adams and Aaron Jones. Kind of a throwback to the previous two seasons in the sense that they made those two, and kind of those two alone, the early focal points, right? Obviously, both guys are huge parts of the offense. I mean, you know, saying, oh, they rely on Davante Adams and Aaron Jones? No shit. But it was the way, again, the first half was essentially those two. It was just those two. Davante, 8 catches for 118 yards and a score in the first 30 minutes. And Jonesy with 6 carries for 69 yards. Nice. And 5 catches for 30 yards. So 11 touches for 99 yards. Love that, love that, love that. They are still your two biggest playmakers in terms of the skill positions. Though really, don't they all take skill? I say they do. You know, let them lead the way. That was really the case LaFleur's first 2 years. This year, I don't want to say, you know, obviously Devontae's been huge all year. The guy shattered his own single season record for most catches in a year, right? Yeah, last year he broke the team record for most catches in a single season. This year, he breaks the record he set last year. So, he's obviously been huge all year. But Jonesy, I don't want to say diminished, but obviously A.J. Dillon's emergence has kind of made it, you know, more of a timeshare there. So, it was nice to see in the first half him kind of reemerge as, like, Devontae is the top playmaker and I'm the, you know, and Jonesy is the second playmaker on the team. That was great to see. You know, let them lead the way. And then you sprinkle in some Alan Lazard in that first half. 4 catches for 56 yards and a score. Really nice. I want to talk about his touchdown grab. That was really impressive. 2nd and 5 at the Minnesota 20. Rodgers drops back. He's hit by Anthony Barr as he throws. Thankfully, Barr didn't break his collarbone this time, Dick. Floats it into the end zone. Lazard skies up for it, comes down with it for the score. That was really nice work from Lazard to be able to turn his body, get in position, go up for it, and most importantly, of course, come down with it and complete the catch. Great stuff. Touchdown Packers, PAT good. 13-0 Green Bay with 4:11 to go in the half. So, you know, that formula, that to me, that formula in the first half was very good. And then in the second half, it was all about the beast. The human monster truck, A.J. Dillon. Did you see, if you're not on social media, well, I think they showed it during the game. He showed up wearing only overalls. Overalls. That was all he wore when he showed up to Lambeau. And what was it? 11 degree weather? 10 degree weather? He is loony, man. I love that kid so much. He is Looney Tunes in the best possible way. He fits Green Bay. I mean, he fits Green Bay like a glove. It's incredible. But yeah, so Dillon, after only carrying the ball 6 times with no receptions in the first half, he racks up 8 carries for 44 yards and 2 scores and 2 catches for 20 yards. All of that in the second half, so 10 touches for 64 yards and 2 scores in the final 30 minutes. And just obviously, you know, his trademark, you know, punch you in the face running style. Again, he's the human monster truck, and that's what you saw. It's just nothing flashy. Give me the ball, I'll go up the middle, and I'll just run MFers over. That's what he did, you know. It was great. And, you know, so love that, you know. You use Aaron Jones to get the lead. Jonesy tires him out. Then you bring in the freaking hammer to pound them into dust. You'll love that. Now, one thing I do want to say about the formula, offensively overall, I don't know if it'll be so evenly split in a playoff game. Like, in terms of the running backs, you'd like to see maybe a little more Dillon in the first half, and maybe a little more Jonesy in the second half. Very quiet second half for Jones as Dillon was doing the damage. And in the passing game, you'd like to obviously see a lot more MVS. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, MVS, as we call him here on the show. Quiet night, very quiet night for MVS, just 1 catch for 3 yards. So you'd like to see a lot more of him in the passing game. But the idea of running almost everything to your big, let's say 4, right, of Adams, a.k.a. NC-17, Still love that nickname that I gave him last week. Still going with that. Jonesy, Dylan, and then let's say, let's kind of view Lazard and MVS as one player, kind of a platoon there, right? So those four guys, Jones, Dylan, Adams, and Lazard slash MVS. That's what you need to do. Your top end guys are going to be the ones that carry you in the playoffs. And it was nice to see Green Bay kind of go that way Sunday night. You know, Rodgers obviously was very good. 29 of 38, 288 yards, two touchdowns. Most of his work was in the first half. I think he was 20 of 25 for 211 in both scores. And then two carries for 8 yards. So, yeah. Oh, hang on a second. Thought he was good, you know, was smart with the football, made some really nice throws. He had the one throw. Oh, geez, let me find my notes here. Was it on the first drive? Yeah, on that first drive, he had the one. He dropped it into a bucket to Adams for 30 right near the sideline. Nice catch from Devontae. Great, great throw from Rodgers. He had a few like that tonight, just beauties. He always does, but it was great stuff from Rodgers. The big question, did he do enough to cement his MVP case? I think, well, we'll get to more of that because I do think there's some questions on that towards the end of the show, but I think he did. Yeah, I think it's a pretty safe bet to say he's going to win MVP over Brady at this point. That's my opinion, but more on that towards the end of the show. Defensively, like I mentioned earlier, the Mannion stuff. Oh, you know what? Wait, real quick. One more thing offensively. This is just off the cuff here. Really, really like what I'm seeing from the two young guards. John Runyon Jr. on the left side and my son Royce Newman on the right side. They are really... Runyon has just been rock solid almost all year. And is getting... You know, you can see he's even getting better. And Newman, kind of an up and down year. Thought he was really good to start. Then he hit a real lull. I don't know if you want to call it the rookie wall, but felt like that a little bit. The last 3 weeks to a month, he has really been coming on strong. I mean, the Packers have two, they look like they're going to have two studs at guard for the next 5 to 8 years. And that's, you know, Runyon, a 6th round pick, and my son Royce, a 4th round pick. Man, Brian Gutekunst and Adam Stenovich at it again. Okay, now to the defense. Like I mentioned earlier, the Mannion stuff kind of dulls some of this, right? Because, you know, he's nothing special at all. No offense. The one thing that I really like, though, they didn't let Dalvin Cook do anything to them at all, which was nice. Cook finished with 9 carries for 13 yards and 3 catches for no yards. Oh, my God. They locked him down. And that was great to see. You know, they didn't let him beat him. You know, and last week, we kind of knew. Now, obviously, the Browns were a lot better at quarterback, Baker Mayfield versus Sean Mannion. But sort of the same thing. You know, we knew a lot of it was going to run through Chubb. It did. The Packers couldn't do anything to stop it. This week, same thing. They did stop it. That was great to see. You know, they loaded the box. They were sealing off the edges. They closed off the running games. They were filling gaps. It was all great to see. And that's obviously been missing lately. So, you know, as they've struggled mightily against the run, not just last week, but the previous weeks before that. And the tackling. Oh, my God, the tackling. How great was the tackling in this one? Great. Great to see. The first guy there almost every single time made the play, brought the guy down. Guys were flying to the ball, getting the job done. Love that. LaFleur, after the Browns game on Christmas, trashed the tackling, said it was their poorest tackling performance of the year. He was right, rightfully so, you know, he was right to say that. So it was great to see the guys respond after last week. Because the tackling it wasn't just last week, you know, last week was kind of like the climax, really, of a month or so of really bad tackling. For the most part. So it was nice to see it get back to what we saw the first 10 weeks in this one. Great tackling. That, you know, because regardless of who the QB was Sunday night or who it's going to be in the playoffs, great tackling always plays. It always hunts. It works regardless. Thought my guy, Devondre Campbell, Sky Umah, University of Minnesota, was especially good in this area Sunday night. Felt like his tackling was excellent. Felt like he's kind of struggled in that area a little bit lately after his incredibly hot start. So his incredibly hot, you know, first 10 weeks or whatever, felt like he's kind of struggled. Felt like he got back to where he was, where he had been Sunday night, which is awesome. Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary, again, awesome. Man, how good have those two been? I feel like I say it every week. Each guy had a sack against Minnesota. Gary with 4 total QB hits and all. Man, that is ridiculous. His sack, which came in the second quarter, was kind of hilarious too, wasn't it? First of all, the funny part, why did they think that their fullback was going to be able to block Rashawn Gary? Are you kidding me? I know CJ Ham's a good fullback, but give me a break. So that alone was funny, but it was funny to see Gary get through the block. He got a hold of Mannion, and he was just not going to let him go. You're just not going anywhere. Dragged him down for the sack. That was good to see. And then special teams, kind of an upside-down night, wouldn't you say? I mean, when the Packers look like they have an actual honest-to-God punt returner, yeah, you have to. David Moore. Where have you been all my life, David Moore? What a performance. His first punt return in the second quarter was decent. I think it was like 11 yards or so. But the showstopper was his punt return early in the third. Oh, man. Caught it clean, made a move, was off, looked confident. Didn't look like he was thinking. Which always, you know, it kind of seems like that's always the case with Amari Rodgers. Really, anybody they've had back there. Didn't look like he was thinking, caught it, made a move, and was off. Really nice punt return. And then 15 yards more after he got hit out of bounds. So, yeah, 22-yard return, 15, so 37 yards in all in that play. And then the Vikings to hit him out of bounds. It's like, you asshole, you buttholes are really going to hurt him now. Like, it looks like we might have a punt return and you're going to injure him. That pissed me off. Now, I got to be honest, I didn't know much about David Moore, and I still don't. And my guess is you don't either. So let's do a special one-time segment here on Lemps Talk and Pack. I like to call Getting to Know Your New Punt Returner. Literally looking up David Moore now. Okay. David Moore. He is 26 years old. He'll be 27 on the 15th. He's from Gainesville. He was born in Gainesville, Texas. Went to East Central College. Was a 7th round pick in the 2017 draft of the Seattle Seahawks. Played there for 17, 18, 19, so 4 years. And then last March, he signed a 2-year, $4.75 million contract with the Carolina Panthers. This is all Wikipedia. You probably already know that. But maybe you didn't look at it yet. He was just go with it. He was released on September 1st. Then he was signed to the Las Vegas Raiders practice squad. Then in late September, he was signed by the Denver Broncos off the Raiders practice squad. Was released on October 19th and re-signed to the practice squad. And finally was released on November 9th before signing with the Packers on December 30th. So yeah, there's a little bit about David Moore. At least something. Maybe you didn't know some of that. I didn't. I mean, hell, even Aaron Rodgers didn't know who he was. Rodgers said after the game, he literally met him on the sidelines before kickoff. So, hopefully that segment helped you. Mason Crosby with another perfect day kicking. 3 for 3. He's now 6 for 6 since the Bears game in early December. Now, granted, they've all been from 39 and in. Actually, his longest in that time span was the 37-yarder he hit Sunday night against Minnesota. But after a dreadful start, which we don't even need to go in because we all remember it, Crosby's at least becoming reliable again on short stuff. That's, you know, that's comforting to know heading into the playoffs. And the operation minus Corey Bohorquez's abysmal hold on Crosby's first field goal Sunday, which Crosby still made, credit to him, does seem to be cleaned up. The operation does seem to be, you know, it's moving, it's going much more smoothly. And I'm knocking on wood right now. I'm actually knocking on my head. I'm not going to jinx it. And speaking of Boho, this is what I mean when I say it was an upside down day, because he's been the one consistently good thing about special teams all year. And he had a clunker Sunday night. Not good. What did he have? 2 punts? Yeah, right, two? Two punts for 63 yards? So one of 39 and one of 24. Jeez Louise. That was the 24-yarder was a real, that was a real duck. I'm not worried about him because he's been so good, but he stung Sunday, so, you know, fix that. But yeah, an upside-down day for special teams, so interesting. Okay, I told people to submit questions on all the usual forums, Facebook, Twitter, email. I did get a few, so let's go through those now. All right, let's start with, let's do Twitter first. Again, sorry for all the sniffling and coughing. I'm fighting through it. Just, I love you guys so much, and I love doing this. I'm fighting through it. All right, let's start with Twitter. Justin Cornwell, at Justin A. Cornwell, longtime friend of the show, Podbean Hardcore. He writes, finally, a stress-free win. And you made a great point earlier about the tackling returning to form. Feels like we are set up for something special. To quote the late, great Kevin Green, it is time. Justin's referring to, I mentioned on Twitter earlier in the game about the tackling looking so good. Yeah, it was nice to just kind of have an easy dozen, you know? I was kind of starting to think about the show. How I was going to write the show and stuff in the fourth quarter. And I don't get to do that usually when they're on Sunday Night Football because it comes down to the freaking wire. Yeah, it does feel like they're set up for something special. And I'm going to talk about this in a little bit. They have to. It is time, you're right, like Kevin Green once said. They have to do this now. This is 3 years in a row of 13-plus wins. Third year in a row, they've had a bye. They got to make this count. I agree. And I think they can. I think they absolutely can. No doubt about that. Next comment question comes from R. Les Santos at R. Les Santos. He writes, Lem's talking pack in this bitch. I certainly am in this bitch, Arliss. Mr. Santos, I sure am. I'm at about 80%, but I'm still 80% of me is all up in this bitch. You have to worry about that. next one comes from my old friend Elaine S. at Captain Elano. She and I have been friends on Twitter forever. She's one of the original Packers Twitter people from 10, 11 years ago. She writes, woo, we don't have to worry about next week's game at all. No, we don't. Isn't that nice? They could win by 100 or lose by 100, and it wouldn't matter one goddamn bit. That is very nice. Very reliable. It'll be nice to just watch, stress-free Packer football in the regular season. That'll be nice to see. I'm looking forward to that. Last Twitter thing comes from question comment. Comes from Brew Crew Critic at Brew Crew Critic, who writes, my only concern is the lack of distance on Crosby's kickoffs and the still shredded coverage. Everything else feels like a strong finish to this season. You mean kick coverage or return coverage? Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that. I'm definitely going to always, that's going to be a concern. It's harder to see that changing. Yeah, and Crosby's kickoffs, we're just going to have to deal with that because, that's where his leg is at this point in his career. But yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I don't have too many, tonight was a nice kind of tune-up. Yeah, I mean, it feels like, yeah, I agree with you for the most part, for sure. Okay, let's go to the email. I have a few emails. All right, hold on a second. Why is it? All right, first one comes from Kyle Terpenning, who refuses to get Twitter. Kyle, God bless you. He writes, the best part about the Polar Express season being over is the railroad isn't working me into the ground. I actually got to watch this Sunday night game. Oh boy, was I glad that I got to watch this one. Offense started slow, but then, as usual, in the second quarter went super scion. I hope Rodgers gets another MVP this year. What are the odds he does get it again? The defense did better this week, though I guess we need to keep in mind there was no Cousins and no Thielen. But they still had Cook, and we shut him down. And special teams actually looked decent. On top of all that, I was semi-impressed by Love's brief appearance. Thank you, Red Tweety Birds, for the gift earlier today. Number one seed, feels so good, baby. Go Pack, go! Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you got to watch the game and things are slowing down for you a little bit. You get to relax. That's good. Kyle, I mean, you're like mountain railroading, right? So hopefully they're giving you a little break, man. I'm glad to hear that. Okay, what are the odds Rodgers does get it again? Now, this is, I said I was going to talk about it later in the show because I thought I had a question on it. And this was it. Rodgers, I do think, well, I mean, I think it's either going to be him or Brady, right? Because Kyler Murray was in the running for a while, and then he fell off. Stafford looked like maybe he was in the running for a while. He's completely fallen off. I don't know if you saw the Rams-Ravens game. He looked like shit. They won, but I thought he looked terrible, especially in the early part of the game. So it's not going to be those guys. Jonathan Taylor's had an incredible season. I think if the Colts, I think if he were, was he at 1,740 yards? If he was closer to 2,000, I think he would probably be in there. Or if the Colts had won a couple more games, he'd be in there. But I don't think so. I know NBC mentioned Cooper Kupp on the broadcast. I don't see that. I don't see that at all. To me, it's Rodgers or Brady. And Brady, I believe, has more yards and more touchdowns. But Rodgers has fewer interceptions and a higher rating. I hope I got that right. So, you know, I think it's Rodgers. I'll tell you why. Not just because I'm a homer, although I am. Why would I do the show otherwise? You look at Brady when he doesn't have his plethora of weapons, like in that Saints game, he looked very average. Now, the Saints have a good defense. But whenever Brady doesn't have his assortment of guys, he looked very average. The game Sunday against the Jets, which the Antonio Brown stuff, I don't even want to get into because where would I even start? But, you know, I think he was missing some guys in that one, right? And they had to steal it at the end. The Jets were in control most of the game and then did very Jetsy things and fell apart. But, you know, Brady had to steal that one at the end. I don't think Brady, if he doesn't have his full complement of weapons, I don't think he's that guy. And we've seen Rodgers without his full complement of guys all season. And Rodgers is, you know, his play has been steady. Really, really, really good. It stayed at a really, really, really high level, despite, you know, kind of a revolving cast of characters at times. You know, I think he's been as good the last 4 to 5 weeks as he's ever been. I think that'll help his case. You know, he's closing the season strong. We all have recency bias, so that'll help his case. I do think he's going to win it. Yeah, I would say I'm about 90% sure Rodgers is going to get his fourth MVP. Yeah, and I think he deserves it. I mean, he's been fantastic this year. Agree with everything else. I forgot to mention no Thielen. I said no Cousins. They didn't have Thielen either. He's out for the year now. So that's why I didn't talk too much about the passing defense because, you know, obviously a significantly less talented Vikings team in that department. But yeah, they shut Cook down, and you're right, you know. Oh, you talked about Love. Yeah, I thought he looked okay. I thought he looked more confident getting the ball out. The ball seemed to come out with more zip. He didn't seem to be as, you know, be going for the touch pass as much. You know, drop back and let that effer rip. So I like that. Like that he ran the ball. I thought it was funny when he ran. It looked like, at one point, it looked like he was looking to the sidelines while he was running. Like, please don't be mad at me for scrambling. But I thought he looked okay. Yeah, I thought so, for sure. Yeah, and shout out to the Cardinals. Okay, next question comes from Kyle, who used to have Twitter, from one Kyle to the next. Massive dub, securing the NFC in the bye, all the while bumping the Vikings, who were so smug after beating us. Really, really sweet victory. Having the NFC run through Green Bay is going to be huge. A.J. Dillon feels like the X factor through January, as he showed today. Just got to have Matt LaFleur and Rodgers stay true to the balance. God, I love Dillon. He gave me a pretty big lead in my fantasy championships. McCarthy is coming back to Green Bay in the playoffs. It feels inevitable. Question. What do you do with these guys who haven't played? Bach, Myers, Z, Jair. If they can go week 18, do you get them some snaps to shake off the rust? Do you wait until the divisional round and limit their snaps? Let's fucking go. Let's fucking go. Let's fucking go. Go, Pat, go. I love that he said that three times for emphasis. That's awesome. Okay. So, lots to unpack here, which is great. A lot of good stuff here. Agree. Like I said earlier, the Vikings were very smug. Nice to shut them up. Yeah, I agree with you on Dylan. He feels like Dylan and MVS, I mentioned a few weeks ago. Those two guys, to me, feel like the guys who can make it different this time around. You know, if you say, what's going to make it different for Green Bay this time, as they are essentially, in terms of roster, the same team they've been the last 3 years. What's to have us believe it'll be different? There we go. And I think you look at A.J. Dillon and MVS. Those two guys, I think, are the X factors that can get the Packers over the hump. Absolutely. Definitely agree. I definitely think those two are going to be huge. Huge. McCarthy. Yeah, it does kind of feel that way, doesn't it? Whether it's in the divisional round or the NFC Championship, it does feel, just because it's already been such a weird year for the Packers, everything that's gone on since the draft and all the Rodgers stuff first started exploding. From then till now, this has been one of the weirdest goddamn stretches I've ever had as a Packer fan. I think we can all agree on that. So in an environment where things are that weird, what keeps in tune with that? Mike McCarthy coming back to Lambeau in the playoffs as head coach of the Cowboys, of course. It fits. It just makes sense. You're right. I feel like it's coming. I definitely agree. Feel like that showdown is coming, for sure. As for your question, what do you do with the guys who haven't played if they can go week 18? Well, you hope that those guys can play. As great as those guys all are, right? Particularly Bach, Z, Jair, talk about Myers and Billy Turner and, you know, Randall Cobb. As good or great as those guys all are, it's hard to ask anybody to sit for a really long time, in Bach's case, over a year, and just throw them out there in the divisional round. Yeah, it's hard. That's a tough ask, you know? So hopefully some of those guys can go this week. That's my hope. Fingers crossed. Let's hope. Because even if they could play a quarter or two and kind of, again, like you said, kind of kick the rust off, like, that would be so huge going into the playoffs. Yeah. So if they can play, yeah, I think you definitely will. I think you definitely have to play them, even if it's only for a little bit. Definitely. Great question. Okay. This one comes from Rich. One more email. Rich writes, spent Christmas in Jacksonville. They are an unhappy bunch. I suggested to some of their fans a straight-up trade, Rodgers for Trevor Lawrence, and they almost all said they would pull the trigger and send Trevor to Green Bay. What would you do? Just asking because at $36 million over the cap for next year, without counting Adams, I see no way to keep the band together, even if Rodgers is currently happy, because he won't be if he is a Packer next year and Adams isn't. Okay, great question, Rich. That's I would imagine they're unhappy in Jacksonville, for sure. What a dog shit season, eh? But didn't they know the Urban Meyer thing wasn't going to work? We all knew it wasn't going to work. I don't think anybody saw it unfolding this quickly. God couldn't work at such a fast pace, to quote Biodome. But I think we all knew it wasn't going to work there with Big Herb, for sure. So Jacksonville fans had to have seen this coming, even if they didn't want to admit it. Straight up trade Rodgers for Trevor Lawrence. That's a fascinating idea. Like, just, I don't even mean, it's an interesting idea because obviously some of the shine, or a lot of the shine has been knocked off Lawrence, a tough rookie year. I think I saw somewhere, has he only thrown one touchdown pass since October? I saw something to that effect. I don't know if I trade Rodgers for Lawrence straight up. I don't know if Rodgers would want to go to Jacksonville. But, like, if Rodgers said, in a hypothetical where Aaron Rodgers said, I want to be traded and I don't want to come back. And Jacksonville said, Trevor Lawrence and a couple of ones and, like, a two and a four. That's a package I probably consider. Yeah, I would think you would have to. Yeah, because even then you could trade Jordan Love and then you would just build around Trevor Lawrence. Again, that would only be if Rodgers said he wanted to be traded. That's all he would accept. But yeah, maybe. So you're asking, what would I do? You're right. Next year, it's going to get messy. You know, I'm going to talk about that here in a little bit. It's going to get really messy. A lot of guys are not going to be back. We don't know the who's exactly. We all have theories. But certainly with this team's cap situation, they kind of did everything they could. This is an all-in year. We wanted them to go all-in for years, and they're doing it this year. And there's a bill that comes due for that. That's going to come after this season. So certainly you're right. A lot of guys aren't going to be back. Yeah, there's not going to be any way to keep the band together. Here's the thing. I think you can keep Rodgers and Adams, but it's going to come at the cost of so many other guys. You know, like, I think we all think Z is going to be gone. And probably guys like Dean Lowry and Billy Turner and Cobb and Crosby and Lewis, guys like that. But I think there's a way. But, you know, you can, in that scenario, you could keep Rodgers and Adams, but you're going to lose even more guys. I mean, MVS is a free agent. You're going to be able to pay him. You know? Bohorquez is a free agent. He's brought stability to money. You're not going to be able to pay him. And not just that, but Jair's contract only has 1 year left after this year. Elgton Jenkins' contract only has 1 year left. Adrian Amos. You know, there's a lot of guys that they've got to start locking down long term. I hope this makes sense, Rich. I'm sorry. So I think you can bring Rodgers and Adams back. I don't think that's what will happen, but I think you could if you're willing to accept that even more players are not going to be back. I tend to think what's going to happen is Rodgers and Adams won't be back, and you'll see some of these other moves get made instead. In a sense, quantity over really high quality. I feel like that's what's going to happen. I hope that makes sense. Yeah, you're right. I think I do. One thing you're right about for sure, I think Rodgers coming back to Green Bay, and I'm not going to get into all that now. I do think it's probably contingent upon Adams coming back. I don't think he'll come back without Tay. No, not at all. I think you're right about that. So I hope I answered your question on that. I have so many thoughts on this offseason, and when the time comes, I promise I'm going to share all of them with you guys. Okay, so those are the Twitter and email, and I do have one more question from my former Old Bag of Donuts podcast co-host, my pal Gene Bosling. Gene, I always give you the hammer. I'm surprised you wrote in tonight because I know you were busy with some stuff. So thank you for writing in, Gene. Here we go. Not sure what to make of the reports that the Packers' top priority is bringing Rodgers back. But I've gone from, I'm so tired of this guy, to I'm all for it. Nights like this, when he's making throws that you simply can't stop, and you see what a mess it is when you don't have the QB position figured out, are what makes me think you keep him as long as you can. If you have the league's MVP, it's such a huge advantage, even at that financial cost, that I just don't think you let go of that unless you're 100% sure you've got the next guy. Rodgers in 2021 is not Favre in 2007 in terms of the worries you'd have about his play. And Love in 2021 is not Rodgers in 2007 in terms of his readiness. Ride it with Rodgers as long as you can and figure it out later. Okay, feel free to hang on to this for posterity if he has an underwhelming playoff performance again, and I'm calling for them to get rid of him. Okay, so obviously a lot. I didn't know if I was going to talk about the Rodgers stuff, and then Gene's question is about that. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I think one of three things is going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. Right? Fair to say he's either going to retire, the Packers are going to sign him to a massive extension, or he's going to demand a trade and they're going to trade him. First, I'll say I don't think he's going to retire. Let's say that right now. The retirement thing is Rodgers, his trump card, his chip to play in his pocket, his back pocket. My guess, and I've thought about this a lot lately, I think what's going to happen is, I think he's going to go to the Packers and say, I think he'll give them an opportunity to sign him to an extension. Something like, say, $130 million over 3 years. Because he's got next year, too, so it would lock him in for 4 years. And he's going to say, got to keep it real again. He's going to say, will you do this? And depending on what the Packers say, that I think will influence it, you know? If they say no, then I think he's going to say, all right, then trade me. And if they say no to that, then you're going to see him play the retirement. The retirement chip is just, it's his, you know, it's his last resort. So I don't think he's going to retire. I think he's going to give the Packers an opportunity to re-sign him. And we'll have to see what Green Bay wants to do. Because here's the thing. You nailed it on this. And I've been thinking about this a lot lately, too. We haven't had that aha moment with Jordan Love. I like with Jordan Love. I like his raw tools. I think he's got a lot of potential. But with Rodgers, you know, he was so bad in the 05 training camp, his first year, preseason. Then he wasn't much better in 06. It wasn't until the preseason in 07 that we thought, oh, maybe we have something here. Then the Dallas game comes, and that's the aha moment. Okay, we know our future is secure. But we haven't had that moment. You're right. We have not had that moment with Jordan Love. So, I'll say I still think he's going to be traded, but I'm starting to come around to the idea that maybe he will be back. If only because the Packers don't know what they have in Love. If they knew, I think they could make the move and it would be a lot easier. But they don't. You know, they don't really have much on Love. Some good, some bad. You know, some good tape, some bad tape. But there hasn't been that aha moment. And that's going to really hinder their ability to say, well, we believe in Jordan. He's our guy. So I'll say I'm coming around to the idea that Rodgers will sign an extension and end up being the guy. And then they'll just trade Love for whatever they can. If Rodgers, the big caveat being, if Rodgers is open to that. If he's still pissed off about everything he's been pissed off about and wants a trade like he did last offseason, then that's what's going to happen. But I'm starting to come around to the idea that if he is willing to sign an extension, that I think the Packers might be too. I will say that. Because you're right. I mean, he's only 38. Everybody acts like he's so old. He's 38. If you did a four-year deal, you'd have him for... He just turned 38. You'd have him for 38, 39... 40 and 41. You probably get at least two more years of really, really elite level play. 1 year of really good play and then 1 year of solid play would be my guess if he plays out those 4 years. Maybe you don't let go of that. I don't know. It's hard to say. But yeah, I hope that answered your question, Gene. Great question. You always bring it. You always bring it, buddy. Okay. So, thanks to everybody who wrote in. You could do anything in the world after these games, and you drop me a line. Always appreciated. Big picture time now, 47 minutes in. The Packers checked their second box Sunday in clinching home field advantage, the first being winning the NFC North. Now it becomes quite simple. Win two games at home, and a date in the Super Bowl awaits. And a whole host of cheeseheads will be loading up their trucks and heading to Beverly Hills, that is. Swimming pools, movie stars. And make no mistake, this must be the year. The Packers must get this done. This is their third year in a row having a bye, second as the only team in the conference with such a distinction. There are no more excuses. No more references to it being the coach's first year or a major injury to a key player crippling them. The coach is experienced. They have won despite key injuries all season. In fact, they may get some key contributors back. Fingers crossed. Green Bay has everything it could possibly need to get to and win the Super Bowl. And again, it must. We all know what awaits at season's end. That being the departure of a number of major talents, even if we don't know who exactly those talents will be just yet. The late, great Tom Petty once sang, "The good old days may not return," and that could certainly be the Packers in the seasons to come. But right now, they are. These are the good old days, and Green Bay must, absolutely must, make sure these days that make up the next month plus are really good. Okay, so that just about wraps up this episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you all had as much fun as I did recording it. Always a blast, even if, again, I am sick. We look ahead now to next week. The Packers will close out their regular season in Detroit with a noontime Lambeau tilt against the Lions at Ford Field. The game means nothing for Green Bay in terms of standings or seedings, of course, but it will be interesting to see who plays and who doesn't. Matt LaFleur said after the game tonight that he believes, as of now, the plan will be to play the starters for at least a half, although that could change throughout the week. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. So here's my thing on that. I will say, instead of talking about the Lions, because who cares? if it were me, I would probably play Rodgers a quarter at most. I'd probably lean towards sitting him, and I know sitting a guy, that would be 3 weeks between tonight and his first playoff game. Saw what happened in 2011 against the Giants. I know that. But 3 weeks, would you have to think the toe would almost be 100% by then. So I would probably sit Rodgers and have Love play the whole game. At the very most, I would have him play a quarter and then hand the reins off. You know, that goes, and that's the same for the other guys too. You know, Devontae, the really, really key guys. Devontae, Kenny Clark, Gary, Preston Smith, Adrian Amos, guys like that. I would have them probably play, again, I would lean towards sitting them, but maybe play them a quarter at most. I'd have A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones suit up, but Patrick Taylor, unless he gets hurt, would do all the work at running back all day. Big opportunity for him. And that hypothetical. So, yeah, I think that's what I would do. But we'll see. I have no idea what's going to happen. I just think you err on the side of caution and trying to be healthy as you can going into the playoffs. That's just me. now, obviously, if Jordan Love does play well, Jordan Love does play, the game becomes a whole lot more intriguing. Because, you know, those are obviously key snaps for the future, one way or the other. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how LaFleur handles this. It's an interesting test. We'll see what he does. And, of course, I'll be back next Sunday night to recap that one win, lose, or draw. It'll be next Monday morning when you hear it. So keep your eyes and your ears out for that one. And, yes, I'll keep you posted. So until next time, whenever that may be, I am Chris Lempesis. This has been Lemp's Talking Pack. Thank you so very much for listening, Packer Nation. I love you. I love you. I love you. Stay safe out there. Please stay safe out there in this crazy-ass world. And remember, always and forever, go Pack. Go.